We talked yesterday in our men's meeting, breakfast, about what a joy it is to see this group up here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Subject today is, I will be a functioning member. As an introduction in the book that we are got some of this information from, we're going to discuss two types of church members. Both are young fathers. Both have wives and children. Both have been attending church for some time after moving to the area. The first is Michael. I didn't make the name, so if it... Michael. He's been a consistent worshiper in the church for quite a while. He focuses his attention on Jesus Christ and not the distractions that happen in all families, including church families. He worships the Creator rather than the creation. And he perseveres in his worship in spite of noticing that things are not always perfect in the church. The second is Liam. He came to faith and worship in the church for the same as Michael had. Both men and their wives are in a Bible study together. But lately, Liam has become less interested in studying and discussing the Bible, and more interested in talking about the church. He is critical of many of the other members of the church and their behavior that he perceives to be not what he wants to be part of. Critical of the pastor, and has discussed with his wife to the point that when he shares with Michael that they think church on Sunday morning is a waste of time. He cites too many hypocrites, too many problems, and decides that they are going to leave the church. Michael stuck with the church. He kept his family in the church, embraced being part of the family of God, and grows closer to Jesus as a result. Liam, disengaged from the church, walks away from the church, and does not grow closer to Jesus Christ. As members of this or any church family, we're not going to always agree on everything. We don't always agree on how things are done. But if we focus on the reason that we're here to start with, which is Jesus Christ, everything will be fine. That's Jesus' plan. In our culture, we have access to all kinds of statistics, and I'm going to either bore you or interest you. I'm not sure how that's going to go on a bunch of statistics that I've looked up recently. But if you want to find your favorite baseball player, and Carol's got one, I'm sure, you can find the statistics, the batting average, the whole thing. If you have a favorite politician, sorry, but I wrote this some time ago and I thought it fit. If you don't, that's okay, but you can still find even somebody you don't like. You can look up their voting record. Those statistics are out there. There are statistics for marriages and divorces and populations and lifespan. You name it, there's a statistic for it. There's also statistics for church membership. Did you know that 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining in their growth or growing at a pace that's slower than the communities that they're in? 9 out of 10. Does that help to maybe explain some of the societal issues that seem to be part of every community in America? And for that matter, not just America, but we're talking about the Church of America right now. There are more stats. The builder generation are people that were born between 1925 and 1945. They are church members, 2/3, 66%. The baby boomers, from 1946 to 1964, 50% are Christians, church members. Generation X, 65 to 80, 1980. We'll get to everybody here, trust me. Generation X has dropped to 37% that are church members. Millennials, from 1981 to 1996, 15%. Generation Z, from 1997 to 2012, is even less than that. The least membership found in the study that I read. Gallup poll found a continued decline in the percentage of Americans that say they even belong to a church or a synagogue or a mosque has dropped to 47% overall in 2020. The first time that it's been below 50% since 1937. That's been a couple days ago. It was 73% in 1937. So basically, not to inundate you with too many statistics, but it was kind of fun for me. I hope it was for you. But also kind of disheartening. Basically, regular church attendance in America is 20%. 1 in 5. So if you look at our community, do these numbers fit it? Have you ever thought about that? Do you believe that more than 1 out of 5 people that live in this surrounding community attend church on a regular basis? Is there any more than that? I'm afraid that's probably a no. So we've been made aware of the decline in church membership. Being an elder of this church, we've discussed that here and community-wide, for a long time. But those statistics are concerning. And the church numbers are declining at a rapid rate. And that's not good. Our sermon text is from 1 Corinthians 12. And there are several, it's from starting in verse 12. And actually we'll go through 31 and I'll touch on some of those. But membership means, if you've got your, I don't have the capability of putting it on the screen, but if you've got your notes, if you want to fill in the blanks, membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. Before we can talk about biblical membership very much, we have to know what does it mean? What is that? 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first the apostles, second prophets, third teachers, the workers of miracles, also those who have gifts of healing, those able to help with others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Pretty well covers a list that are part of the church, the body of Christ. Which one of those gifts do you have? I've preached on that before. I can believe you could forget it, but that's okay. I'm going to keep saying it. We all have at least one. Check yourself and see which one fits you and how can you use it in this body of believers. We need to do that. What's our culture's definition of church membership? Read some obituaries. I've read some obituaries not that long ago. Been to funerals not that long ago where the deceased was mentioned as having been a member of this church. I've been in this church for, Nancy, stop. 60 some years. Okay, maybe longer. And when I was reading some of those notes or hearing about so-and-so that had passed away, and I mean no disrespect, but in my experience here, I never saw them. If they were a member here, it must have been Christian in name only, member in name only. Sorry, but we discussed that. That seems to be a cultural membership. That's not biblical membership. So you get your name on a roll somewhere, so that's all that mattered? I don't think so. Biblical membership is based on Matthew 16:18. And where Jesus says, I will build my church. And that was already used remarkably. But I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thanks, Jay, for stealing my scripture.
I didn't know.
I know you did. That's how God works. And that's just great. Distinctive community of believers, much more than a name on a roll list. Acts 2:42-47 describes the early church. The early Christians were dedicated to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer, and meeting frequently, pooling resources and witnessing to their community. Hebrews 10:24-25 urges believers not to abandon gathering together. That's not the first time we've heard that from this pulpit. Being part of a spiritual family requires participation. I'll say it again later, but it's not a spectator sport. Being a Christian is involved. Second point, membership means we are different, but we still work together. One body, many parts, with each part doing its own work for the benefit of the whole body. 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. If we fail, any one of us, to do our part, the whole body could suffer. And probably will. Ephesians 4:4-6. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who's over all and through all and in all. Another scripture that someone took this morning. It's amazing. And I'm glad. I must have been on the right list. That list was a whole list of ones. And one part of that was one body of believers. Not many. Just one body tied to the glorious future with Jesus Christ. That shouldn't be hard. And it's not hard for us. But it sure seems to be hard for 80% of our nation. That's scary. Third point. Membership means everything we say and do is based on the biblical foundation of love. What is the love chapter? 1 Corinthians 13. It defines biblical love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We don't love because people are so lovable. We love because God's word tells us to. The biblical love is the foundation of church membership. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Who is he? Jesus. We should love each and every one that's part of our family and love to have more be part of this family. Fourth point, last point on, I think, on your bulletin. Church membership is functioning membership. Now we get to the hard part. Church membership means being part of the body of Christ. Way, way different from being a member of a civic organization. Or a country club. Or at least it should be. You know, we can join clubs. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can be in a club. And you pay your dues. You attend when it's... when you want to. When you choose to. And that club will no doubt survive as long as one out of five of the members do four out of five of the members' responsibilities. They owe 20 and 80. That happens a lot. I've been in some of those clubs. 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and so it works. Is it working efficiently? No. No way. Will the church work in the same way? If 20% do 80%, will it be as good as it could be? I say no. Biblical church membership needs all of us doing our part. What is our goal? To be in church. To glorify Jesus Christ. Is there some other reason? Is there a better reason? I submit no. We are part of the bride of Christ. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. We are part of that bride of Christ. That's serious. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. And 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. We are all part of the body of Christ. That is serious. That is amazing. It is amazing that Jesus Christ would care enough for any one of us to go to the cross and die so that we don't have to, so that we can spend eternity with him. So take church membership here seriously. And do your part. Figure out what you can do and do it to the best of your ability, because you were given that gift by your Creator. So, membership means we're all necessary parts of the whole, and everybody has to do a part, and we're not all the same. As was discussed before, we're not all eyes, we're not all feet, we all function together. We're different, but just because you're different from who you're sitting by or sitting behind or sitting in front of doesn't mean that you're not able to work together, because our goal is to work together for Jesus Christ. We need to base everything we say and do on biblical love. Do I get that right all the time? Would I base everything I say and do on biblical love, on the standard of biblical love? Sorry, no, I don't. But I'm a work in progress. And so are each of you. And the other point, the final point, is church membership is functioning membership. The better we function, each one of us, the better the church will be. Being a functioning member of Christ, of the body of Christ, the church has to have, we require action. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, it's not a spectator sport. Being a Christian is not something you do by name only. It means nothing. I'm sorry. It just, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. Don't take it like that. But everybody needs to get in the game. And we're playing this game to win. I don't like to lose. And I don't want to disrespect my Savior that, and your Savior that's already done everything for us. He died for a reason. He died to save us. Get in the game. Not only for yourself, but for those around you. For your families. For your friends. It's so important that we share the Lord with people. Because there's a whole bunch of people that are not here or not anywhere and don't know God and don't want to, that are going to hell. It's that simple. It's that terrible, because I wouldn't wish hell on anyone. So 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I believe Jesus is coming back soon. Maybe that's just a hope on my part, but I believe he is. And I personally want to do everything I can to be ready for his return. I want to be found as a functioning member of the body of Jesus Christ. I hope that's a goal that's shared by each one of us in here. I believe we have a wonderful church family here. And it hasn't always been like that. I've been around long enough to know that one too. But I'm proud of each and every one of that considers themselves part of the Valley Falls Christian Church. And I'm thankful to be part of the family, the same family that we're all in together. We have a wonderful thing going here. I think that's because of the blessing from the Lord. It's not anything we've each done, but by seeing that, seeing how much Jesus has helped us to be who we are instead of who we were, whether that's personally or as a church body, he's only begun. So consider being an even bigger part. Play a bigger role in this church family than you already are. If you're not part of this body of believers, and you'd like to be, I urge you to come forward during the invitation hymn, or please talk to me after the service. So, or talk to Jay, or talk to someone in leadership here so we can direct you. It'd be great to baptize a whole bunch of people while Mike's gone. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding. That would be great, no matter what. And pray for Mike and Gina, and that they will be refreshed while they're on sabbatical. So God, pray with me, please. God, I just want to be a functioning member of this body of believers. And I want each one to come to know you. I just thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you made for each one of us and the opportunity that we have to serve you. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.